to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast for January 29th, 2013, our very first podcast of the new year. My name's Beth Belo, and I'm your go-to resource for all things introvert. The Introvert Entrepreneur was founded in 2010 and is dedicated to providing services to introverts and those who love them. Over the past year, introversion has been in the news and on our minds. What was previously a personal characteristic that we whispered about has become the hot topic of conversation. With the paperback release of Susan Cain's best-selling Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking, and the publication of Sophia Dembling's The Introvert's Way, Living a Quiet Life in a Noisy World, and the updated and expanded second edition of Introvert Power, Why Your Inner Life is Your Hidden Strength by Laurie Helgo, there is no shortage of resources for anyone who'd like to learn more about what it means to be an introvert. Myths have been dispelled and productive conversations started about how we can bring a more balanced energy to our workplaces and homes. I personally don't think there's ever been a better time to be an introvert. I added my voice to the growing chorus through my first book, Insight, Reflections on the Gifts of Being an Introvert. It's a compilation of my favorite blog posts and articles that speak specifically to our lives as introverts. I'll be publishing an updated edition of the book in early February, including some new essays. For now, you can still find it on Amazon in paperback or Kindle editions. You can also find it on Smashwords.com. On either Amazon or Smashwords, just do a search for Beth Belo, and my last name is B-U-E-L-O-W, and it'll pull up. So on for our podcast topic for today. Shyness is a topic that is fundamental to the introvert conversation, but that can be the source of enormous confusion. For so long, people have collapsed the two, assuming that if a person is shy, she must be introverted, or if a person is introverted, he must be shy. The truth is, while they are two different characteristics, there are significant similarities. So, I've asked an expert on shyness, Barbara Markway, PhD, to help us tease through the issue. Barb is a psychologist and author of three books on social anxiety and shyness. Her first book, Dying of Embarrassment, Help for the Social Anxiety and Phobia, was named one of the most scientifically valid self-help books in a study published in Professional Psychology, Research, and Practice. Her other books are Painfully Shy, How to Overcome Social Anxiety and Reclaim Your Life, and Nurturing the Shy Child, Practical Help for Raising Confident and Socially Skilled Kids and Teens. Barb has appeared on Good Morning America, The Today Show, and the documentary Afraid of People. Her work has been featured in The New York Times, Chicago Tribune, Washington Post, among other national publications, and she's been heard on radio stations nationwide. Barb lives with her husband of nearly 25 years. She says the most non-shy thing she's ever done was to ask her husband out on their first date. Hi, Barb. Thank you so much for joining us for the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm excited to talk with you about introverts and shyness today.
Hi, Beth. I'm excited to be here. I know we've talked about this for a while, so I'm glad that we finally are doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Two busy people finally getting together.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Yes.
So I want to start out with a question that comes up a lot, I know, for me, and I'm sure it comes up a lot for you, which is, how would you characterize the difference between introversion and shyness?
That is a great question, and it sounds so straightforward. It should be such an easy question to answer, but it's not. There are so many different definitions, and the two get overlapped, and so anyways, I just want to preface it by saying it's not a clear-cut distinction by any means, and I know you've written some about it, but I went back and looked at some of Carl Jung's initial writings because I wanted to see, how did he define introversion? And I had some of my old books still from grad school and looked up some of his original writings. And so I want to read you what he wrote about introverts. They have an inward flowing of personal energy, a withdrawal concentrating on subjective factors. The introvert is usually happy alone with a rich imagination and prefers reflection to activity. The introverted attitude includes a tendency to be shy. So that is Jung talking about introversion. And so I think that, you know, the confusion comes from way back early on that Jung himself was using shyness to define introversion. And, you know, obviously I think there are differences, but I think, well, that's probably one of, you know, a big reason why there's all this confusion is that in his original writings, he used shy in his definition. So that was kind of interesting to me to go back and really read what he wrote. Now, I know his actual meaning and intent in the way people talk about introversion today and the way you write about it, which I agree with, is more of how we get our energy and how we get recharged from having alone time. And, you know, that's where our imagination kicks in and that we get more drained from being with others. Not that we don't like other people, but we have to go back to our alone time to recharge. But again, there is so much overlap, and it's really hard when you're writing and trying to describe things. You know, even Susan Cain in her wonderful book, Quiet, she uses the terms interchangeably. I mean, she does note the distinctions, but, you know, many of her examples are of shy people, and so it's just a really hard thing to keep separate, and there is so much of an overlap. Back to what, you know, I talked about introversion, shyness, again, you can look up so many different definitions of shyness. And, you know, when I first started reading blog posts about, you know, I think yours was like, enough with the introversion equals shyness already. I'm like, yeah. What? Why is that so bad? And then I opened up a dictionary and looked up shyness, and I'm like, that's really negative. That's why, because I don't really think of it that way. You know, one way I think about shyness is more of it's a basic human emotion. It's kind of interest blended with fear, and it can be very situational. You can be shy in one situation and not in another, and shyness can exist on a continuum. And I like to look at it in terms of what we call behavioral inhibition, that's a big psychology word, but just that tendency to, you know, if you see a child and they avert their gaze, they look away, or they're clinging to their mother's leg, or they don't venture far off to, you know, look for novel toys. That's what's called behavioral inhibition. And so I think, you know, that's part of shyness. Again, it's complicated, Beth.
It is very complicated. We could probably spend the whole time allotted to our conversation.
I know.
Because you're right. There's so much to tease apart, and it is challenging to talk about the differences between the two without also sometimes using terms that apply to both. And
right.
What I appreciated about what you shared with, you know, going back to the source with Carl Jung, is that he said introverts there's a tendency towards shyness.
Right, not that they are necessarily
exactly.
Have to be.
Right. So I always am saying, you know, like, yes, there are probably more shy introverts than extroverts, but just because someone is an introvert, it does not inherently mean that person is shy by nature.
Right. And I just want to say, you know, right here that, you know, part of my experience comes from my professional background, but I am also, I was born shy, introverted, highly sensitive person, highly reactive, you know, anything in that continuum I came into the world with and have, I think, successfully managed all of that. But I have, you know, a personal interest in this. And, you know, I have to admit that sometimes when I read all these posts about, you know, introverts are not shy, we are not shy, you know, sometimes it's like hard not to take it personally. Like, oh my gosh, you know, it's not that bad to be shy. But, you know, but I know, you know, in the business world and in our culture, it is seen as negative. So I can see where all of you are coming from. But I worry about the people that, you know, still identify with being shy, you know, and I still do, even though I'm, you know, highly functional and, you know, but there are certain situations where, yeah, I would say I'm still shy. Anyways, I just worry that we're going, you know, to such extremes to, you know, elevate the introvert status, which I can see why we need to do, that, you know, it's like we've made shyness, like, even worse. Like, oh, my gosh, the shy people are at the bottom of the totem pole now. And introverts have kind of gotten a little higher because, you know, of all the great work that's going on with, you know, things that you've written and Susan Cain. And, you know, there's several writers out there now that are writing about introverts and how, yeah, it's great. You can be a leader. You can do whatever you want to do. And there's all these inherent strengths. So I read something Susan Cain wrote that I thought was really important, that that both shy and introverted people have something very profound in common. And that is that that we're misjudged by the culture, by our Western culture, that, you know, that our Western culture is blind to some of the strengths that both shy people can have and introverts can have. So, you know, hopefully we're entering into an era where some of those strengths are going to be noticed more. But, you know, I think we've all been relegated as, you know, I don't know what word to use, but it is a cultural thing. You know, in China, they do study, they've done studies looking at Chinese kids and what makes a child popular. And in China, someone who is shy or quiet, those kids will be the most popular, where in Western culture, that's not the case.
Yeah, that's a great point, that there are definitely cultural norms,
right,
that create an environment that's either conducive to the introvert or the shy person, or the introvert shy,
right,
you know, really shining, and others where it's seen as something that's, you know, what's wrong with you.
Right, right. So I always remind myself, if I'm feeling bad, that, you know, in China I would be very popular.
Yes. Well, I so appreciate your point, because it's something I've been trying to be sensitive to myself, in that you're right, in that we kind of, because introvert and shy have been collapsed for so long, that there's that need to tease them apart, and sometimes we can go a little far, and, you know, like I, you know, my exasperated headline.
Right, and the content of your blog post, you know, when I read it was great, but, you know, sometimes people, you know, they get catchy headlines that to me are kind of like, oh, no one likes me.
Right, right. And,
but
and
again, that's because I'm highly sensitive also.
Well, you're bringing up such an excellent point, that as we're talking about this, it's about honoring all of the different sort of shades of our personality, of our temperament, of how we're showing up, and
right,
really coming at it from a place of every single one of them, the highly sensitive, the shy, the introvert, the extrovert, the, you know, I suppose even the narcissist, I don't know, you know, they all have strengths that are valuable, and it's time we started focusing on those instead of focusing on what needs to be fixed,
yes,
about them.
Yes, yes, I love that point. We're such a fix-it society rather than, you know, accepting that, okay, let's, you know, look at the good things. And, of course, you know, we want to always try to be the best that we can be. That sounds like some kind of commercial, but... So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think the more we know about ourselves, the higher the higher the chance we're going to be the best we can be.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, you've done a wonderful segue into my second question, which was acknowledging, you know, some of us that are beating that introvert drum and saying, introvert does not equal shy. We're missing a chance to acknowledge, number one, you know, as you point out so well, that it is not to... put shyness at a disadvantage or lower on the totem pole or anything like that. It's
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's more about introverts than it is about shy.
Go ahead.
I think we're missing a chance to acknowledge shy introverts, like
yes,
to say, Yes, you are. You can be an introvert and shy, and so I know, especially based on what we've talked about so far, what tips do you have, or what perspective can you offer for the introvert that is also shy?
Well, my first thing is, maybe I've already said this. I'm getting lost in my own thoughts. I'm having so many thoughts, but is to really accept yourself and have self-compassion. That's something that I've been working on more this year for myself, is just, accepting that how I am is okay, and acknowledging that, okay, certain things are hard for me, and, that's that's something that I need to acknowledge. I think we talked about our culture being such a fix-it society, that we're so quick to jump into problem-solving that we miss the step that, this is hard. It's hard when you're an introvert and the world, wants to have parties all the time. Or it's hard if you're shy or, quiet and you're expected to speak up at this meeting or whatever. Just, at least making that acknowledgement that it's hard, because I think we skip that step. And just noticing the way you talk to yourself, I think, at least the shy people I've worked with, and I know myself too, have a lot of negative self-talk. I think probably from being in this culture that, doesn't quite revere us. But listening to what you're saying to yourself, are you calling yourself a loser? Are you saying, this should be easy, I should be able to do this? Tuning into that. And along with that is, thinking about maybe small baby steps you can take to expand your, behavioral repertoire. And again, I don't think it has to be anything big. I think thinking in small steps. It's kind of another one of my little pet peeves now on the internet, is everyone saying to play big, dream big. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is like so not me. And it's so overwhelming. And I know that their content, again, it's like that's their catchphrase, and I'm sure the content is good. But for me, I'm like, okay, I have to have really small, tiny steps to take, or I won't make any progress. This is a little example from my own life that, that speaks to, even small, tiny things are good. It's like, I am an introvert, and I could sit at my desk all day and not talk to people. So I sometimes make little notes at the beginning of the day. Okay, I'm going to go ask Carol how her weekend was. And, maybe to an extrovert, that would seem really silly. Oh my gosh, she has to write a note to remind herself to go and talk to people. But, when I do, then I feel good. I have like a good conversation with her, and I, it breaks up my day. But for me, that's important too. I just make those little reminders to myself. Call someone to go out to lunch, because I could see a friend once a year and probably be happy. But I know most people, that's like not the norm. So, but anyways, I think, making small little steps. One thing, I was listening to your podcast with Susan Cain, and she was talking about public speaking, and how great Toastmasters is. And, along the lines of, trying small things and not beating yourself up if, you can't do big things or play big. Or Toastmasters, for me and for a lot of people that I've worked with, is on the lines of a big step. I know it's like a really supportive environment, and that it's supposed to be easy, but I have tried Toastmasters probably 3 or 4 times and can never make it past the first few times. They count how many ums you say, and then they announce it, and I don't know, a lot of stuff really makes me nervous. So I'm just trying to say that because a lot of people have said how great Toastmasters is, and I do think it's a wonderful program, but if there's anyone listening out there who has had not perfect experiences with Toastmasters. You're not alone. I just want to say that. So anyways, I think just thinking little, accepting.
And being okay with that.
Right. And also, I mean, this is along the lines of acceptance, but thinking of all the things that, are really great about being quiet. And, I'm a really good listener. I've made my living for 20 years listening to people. And I'm in tune with people's feelings. And, I think being on the cautious side has kept me out of a lot of trouble. So in a way, I see shyness has been my friend in some ways. So, I kind of have that pause to check response, which could be an introvert thing too. Again, that's where it kind of gets fuzzy, but, I'm careful. I check things out. I want to make sure something's going to be good before I jump right in.
I think that makes us very discerning.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate the having to make reminders to yourself, even to, say, remember to call Sue to find out how her, party went last week or her birthday or whatever. But I, because I will get to the end of the day and I'll be like, shoot, I meant to reach out to Rachel and I completely forgot. And so the notes, I would have no qualms about putting notes all over the place if I needed to. And I so resonate with the lack of resonance that happens when I see the messages of, go big or go home, or go big or go back to bed. It's like,
there's something about in between. There was something about all the excuses you make for being average. I'm like, well, when did average become a bad thing? I mean, I don't know. We can't all be great at everything.
Well, I just did an Improv for Leaders workshop with a group of people yesterday with a co-facilitator. And one of the rules of the principles of improv is be average.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah. I got to share that when I said this one, especially as an introvert, I suppose, it's my favorite because it sort of takes off the pressure. Like, you don't have to perform all the time. You don't have to be clever and witty and sparkly and big in order to have a meaningful, significant experience or interaction or relationship. Just be yourself. Be average.
Well, that's neat that you did that.
Yeah, well, thank you for mentioning the being average, because that just triggered that for me. So it's such a cool principle.
Yeah.
And that's,
and one
just,
that you don't really hear about.
No. It's just like a friend who says, everybody's always like, you need to do 10. What would happen if you did 10% more? She said, what would happen if you did 10% less?
Yeah,
what would open up for you?
Write a blog post on that, Beth. I would like that.
I will put that in the drafts
in the
idea
file,
folder.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing those. I so appreciate it. And then my next question is related to this, in that so often the advice we hear or what we read, and who knows, a lot of it might be written by extroverts or not shy people.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time we're hearing about how shy people can change themselves to fit into the unshy world. So I want to turn the tables and say, so say you work with, or you live, or you supervise, or you're best friends with a shy person. How can you create an environment that's conducive to that shy person or shy introvert being their most productive or creative or happy?
That's a great question, and we could talk a long time about that. I'm trying to think of just one or two things to say. I don't know, I'm reminded of a conversation that my husband and I had. He had to be on a committee where they were going to rewrite this big policy, and it was supposed to be like the six-month process, group process, that introverts tend to not like. And someone, they talked for like 20 minutes in the group, and then one woman who my husband said, he knew was extremely bright and, really on target, she said, if you just let me go back to my office, I think I could write this policy based on what everyone here has said. but I cannot write this policy line by line with a group. And, you know, so he's like, everyone else is like, well, great, just go for it, you know. That'll save us a lot of work. So, you know, I think let people work in their own ways. And, you know, I know Susan Cain has talked about ways to set up workspace. And, you know, and one thing for me that's helpful, which a lot of times people don't do, is just take a pause when you're speaking. I mean, I was always raised, don't interrupt people. It's rude. So as an introvert, unless somebody pauses, I don't speak. So, you know, if you're with someone who's an introvert or shy or whatever, you know, and you're an extrovert, just maybe take a breath sometimes, you know, maybe pause or say, you know, what do you think? I mean, not to put them on the spot, but just to give them an opening, you know, kind of a little window of opportunity to get their ideas out there. And another thing someone said to me once is, if you don't know how an introvert feels, you haven't asked them. You know, we're not going to spontaneously go up and just tell you how we think or feel. But if you ask us, you know, we're liable to tell you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think on the introvert side and the shy side as well, people can't read our minds. And so I appreciate what you just shared about your husband's colleague and that she was so upfront about it.
That was great.
She was very transparent.
Yeah.
Just said, you know, this isn't working for me. I could go back and do this in 10 minutes, you know, or whatever.
Right.
And be able to move forward. And what's interesting is, you know, your husband said, and everybody was like, great.
Yeah, I know.
You know, they were very open to that. And I think sometimes we think that people are going to not support us in it.
Yeah.
I think it's worth, you know, taking a chance. And a lot of it has to do with, this is something I talk about a lot, is how safe somebody feels in the situation.
Right. And yeah, I think that's a good point.
That can really increase, you know, one's ability to be transparent with other people. And I'm a big fan of silence. So
yeah.
Silence and sentences. And sometimes I have to work at that too, but I found the most exhausting conversations are the ones where the person never breathes.
I know. That's so hard.
Well, before we kind of wind down our conversation, I did want to highlight for a second that you, like you mentioned before, you've been increasing widening your topic and message to include more about self-compassion. And I wonder if you could just talk for a moment about what you're doing around that.
Sure. Well, I write for Psychology Today, and that's kind of my professional blog. But this January 1st, I was inspired by some people's year-long projects like Gretchen Rubin, The Happiness Project, and there's some other books based on one-year things. So I just started my own WordPress blog, and I call it the Self-Compassion Project. That's where you can find it. And it's just my personal blog, and so I don't have to write a certain number of words or offer a certain number of tips, but I'm really looking at self-compassion. I've always been a high achiever and a perfectionist and hard on myself, so I'm really wanting to, you know, learn to be kind and tender and gentle, and it's really been neat. I really am enjoying it. So if any of your listeners want to check that out, it's at theselfcompassionproject.com.
Do you see, and this is not to put you on the spot, but do you see yourself expanding that and writing any sort of book or anything about or having some sort of offering around self-compassion?
I don't know. It's so hard because I am a writer and I've written books, and I'm trying to think of this as just for me and not like put it into like, okay, let's put it into chapters and let's, so I'm trying to not do that. And I said, well, I'm just at least going to just do this simple WordPress blog for a year. And so I don't know.
I get that. You know, it's like sometimes something that we love to do, if we all of a sudden start looking at it and thinking, okay, how can I make this a project or work or monetize it? It sort of kills it.
Oh, yeah, the title of my blog, I wanted it to be a neat and tidy project. It's not turning out so neat and tidy, but yeah, I like the word project, so it's in there.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like then if it's not so neat and tidy, that's an opportunity for self-compassion
exactly.
In and of itself.
Yes.
So I have a question that I ask all of my guests at the end of the podcast, and that's about Introvert Island. And if you were granted a year's vacation on Introvert Island and you could only take three books with you, and this is three of the old-fashioned kind of books, not a Kindle or anything, what would you take with you and why?
Oh my gosh, a year's vacation, that's really long.
It is.
Okay, well, I think I would take War and Peace just because isn't that the longest book ever written?
Probably.
And it would last a long time. And I think, I don't know, educated people are supposed to have read it, and I haven't. So I might take that. Let's see. My husband is reading a novel called The Perks of Being a Wallflower, and he said it's really good and it's coming out in a movie. So I don't know, maybe I'd take that. And let's see, a whole year. I don't know if this would count, but I would take the biggest, fattest blank journal and some pretty pens. That would be what I would take to try to last the year.
Great. Well, how can people learn more about you and what you have to offer? You've mentioned your self-compassion blog, so if you wouldn't mind repeating that URL and then other places people can find you.
Okay. It's the selfcompassionproject.com. And I'm on Twitter, just as Barb Markway. So I think it's like twitter.com and then a slash Barb Markway. The other thing I wanted to do for your listeners is offer, I've written several books, but I have three copies of Nurturing the Shy Child that I'd like to give away to, you know, maybe some of your readers have shy children. And so they can email me if they, the first three people that email me saying they, you know, would like a copy of that book, Nurturing the Shy Child. My email is barbmarkway at gmail.com. And I'm on Psych Today. You can, I think it's psychtoday.com. And that's pretty much it.
Fabulous. And you and your husband have a Facebook page as well that
Yes,
people can connect with.
our social media is kind of out of control. We have a Facebook page, and I have one for my self-compassion project, and so I don't know. I somehow have to integrate all that, but
So if
yeah, we
somebody wants to
do.
find you, they can either go to the website or, you know, kind of search for Barb Markway in Facebook.
Yeah, I think you'll find me.
Well, thank you for the very generous offer of giving away three copies of your book to some listeners.
Oh, well, you're welcome. You're
I know
welcome.
that is going to that's going to get snatched up. Well, thank you so much, also for the generosity of your time and your insights to shyness and introverts and the differences and the similarities and how we can all be more understanding and appreciative of the
Right.
gifts that
Yes.
we all
Well,
bring.
yeah, I know. I don't know that I cleared up anything with the definitions, but yeah, if we can learn to just be compassionate with each other, like you said, I think that's going to be a huge step. And I love your insight book. I have been reading that, and I can't wait to get your other book when you finish that.
Oh,
So,
thank you. Thank you. That
yeah.
means a lot to me. Oh, thanks. If you are shy or live or work with someone who is, I hope you've picked up some useful tips that support your success. I love what Barb said about shyness being a basic human emotion. It recognizes that it's something to notice, acknowledge, and be compassionate about. It's not good or bad. While it's a complicated topic with many shades of gray, in some ways, it's simply a state of being that we move in and out of. What's most important is that you acknowledge it and that you have a healthy relationship with it. Thank you so much for listening today. And if you want to learn more about my coaching, speaking, and training services through the Introvert Entrepreneur, you can find me online at www.theintrovertentrepreneur.com. The beginning of the year is a fabulous time to put in supportive structures that will contribute to making it your best year ever. Coaching, in particular, is a powerful partnership that can provide the processing and accountability you need most. So I invite you to learn more by scheduling a no-obligation coaching information session during the month of February. You can choose your time online by clicking on Coaching for Introverts on my website. The scheduling link is at the bottom of the page. And of course, I'd be honored if you decided to pick up a copy of my first book, Insight: Reflections on the Gift of Being an Introvert, available on Amazon.com. Until we meet again, remember that success is an inside job.